How about I just start recording and see what happens?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. I'm at a loss. So.
What can we talk about? It's cold. It's really nice and cold. I love it.
Made a nice difference from the heat we put out with at the start of the year, which I believe we commented on extensively.
Yeah, I know.
In earlier episodes.
We have to have something more interesting than to talk about the
weather. Update. No. Update time.
Da-da-da.
You may remember back in episode 4 when we talked about, I believe, about Pope Joan, and I talked about the rather controversial and unusual circumstances around the game Night Trap. You would not believe it. For the 25th anniversary release of that game, they're making a remastered version for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Why?
Why, people? No, don't get tempted, guys. It is an awful, awful game.
And that's coming from an absolute humongous gamer. I should know. I am a gaming widow. And I could say that with a lot of pride. Because it gives me time to read and do other things, like, and knit. Oh, I've started knitting. Yay! I'm knitting a scarf.
So there you go. So what should I call that? A what the update?
It's a what the update.
What the update.
Does it make sense?
Does anything we do make sense?
No.
Excellent. On that note, let's get on with the show.
Yay!
What the... Hello and welcome to What the History, your fortnightly taste of bits of bizarre history to appeal to the What the Historian in all of us. Thought I'd try something new.
That's beautiful. What the Historian.
What the Historian. I am Trevor Holland.
And I'm Susie Holland.
Oh boy.
Try not to laugh my ass off.
So Susie, what do you have in store for us in this fortnight's episode?
All right. Well, because we're coming up to Mother's Day and women like flowers. I'm not going to say all women like flowers because I know they don't. But I like flowers, but I prefer them to stay in the ground because I don't want something hurt just for my pleasure. Gosh, that sounds bizarre. But anyway. But yes, I love roses, but I love looking at them in the ground. Sir Tristram is my favourite. Hello? Anyone wants to send me some Sir Tristram in a pot? That would be great. And I will plant it next to the What the Rose I've got out the front. I don't know what it is. That's why I call it a What the Rose, but it's very pretty. Anyway, enough about roses. And let's talk about tulips. Ooh. Okay. Now, did you hear the joke about a country almost being ruined by a flower? No, it's not the rose. Because it really wasn't a joke. It really happened in Holland in the 17th century when the love of tulip bulbs almost sent the country into financial ruin. Ah, don't believe me? Listen on. Tulip bulbs were traded for vast quantities and not just for money, but people also traded bulbs for bulbs and thereby bulbs becoming their own currency. Now stay with me, everyone. I know there's lots of bulbs happening here. Fortunes were made on the bulbs until it all crashed down as quickly as it began. So what the history happened? Yeah, see what I did there?
I did.
Good. How did one country almost get ruined by a flower? To tell you, I need to take you all back to the year 1593. Now, you're all comfortable? That's good. This was the year that tulip bulbs were introduced to the Dutch from Turkey and various artists of the day, like visual artists, painters. Huh? Not house painters, but canvas painters. Such as, sorry if I mispronounce his name. Jean Bruegel, the elder, began to paint them for wealthy art patrons who had an interest in horticulture in the early years of the 16th century. Now, one of these gentlemen connoisseurs was the botanist Carolus Clusius, who around this time created a botanical garden at the University of Leiden. Carolus also spent a considerable time in his own personal garden where he had planted some tulip bulbs, which he would study the flowers. He noted that some of them would bloom a second time with different coloured hues and stripes, and these became much more prized than the single colour. Now, as an aside, it wasn't until the 19th century when it was found that a virus called the mosaic virus was the cause of the striated effect. So people were actually liking the diseased flowers more than the undiseased flowers. Okay, just because they were prettier. Now, at this stage, some other botanists got in on the tulip market, and the competition to cultivate the prettiest tulips was on. Keep in mind that tulips bloom into flower between 7 to 12 years after planting, so the mystery of what a tulip would look like kept buyers and sellers alike guessing. So that actually created what we know today as a futures market, because they were investing in the future. As word got around, the botanists found themselves getting messages from all around the world asking them to sell the bulbs and cuttings for vast amounts of money. Toot toot toot, ka-ching, and the network of trade grew. The most highly prized bulbs were of a status symbol, of course, and fortunes were made overnight with trading. This trade coincided with Holland becoming one of the most richest countries in Western Europe, with aristocrats, merchants, and the middle-class tradesmen finding that they had money to spend on bulbs, and spend they did. Tulip prices rose to compete with demand, as some plant nurseries began to obtain bulbs as well, which decreased supply and, of course, increased demand. Traders began to stake their profits on more bulbs, and there is a story that in 1623, a trader attempted to buy 10 bulbs of the extremely rare and beautiful Semper Augustus tulip. It was a snow-white tulip with deep red stripes. It looks really pretty. For 12,000 guilders, which then was enough to buy outright completely a townhouse in Amsterdam. But that amount of money wasn't enough for the seller, so they didn't part with their 10 bulbs of Semper Augustus. Another story tells of the tale that in the peak of tulip fever in 1637, a single bulb of the also extremely rare and beautiful Viceroy tulip bulb would get you, now get this is quite a lot for one single bulb of a very, very rare tulip, 2 measures of wheat, 4 measures of rye, 4 fat oxen, 8 fat swine, 12 fat sheep. Thank God things are about fat things here.
Mm-hmm.
2 hogsheads of wine, 4 tons of beer, like 4 big barrels of beer, 2 tons of butter, 1,000 pounds of cheese, a complete bed, a suit of clothes, and a silver drinking cup from one bulb.
No partridge in a pear tree?
No partridges in a pear tree. I'm not sure if they actually had partridges in that country.
Yeah.
But they might have, but no partridges, no. And as the monetary value of the Viceroy bulb was 10 times the annual wage of a craftsman as well. Now, you probably can tell it wasn't going to last. So in 1637, the whole thing came crashing down. Bulbs were also being used as their own currency when bulbs were being traded for bulbs, as I mentioned earlier. So prices of bulbs sank as people decided to sell and keep the profits instead of buying more bulbs, which led to the downfall. Now, in the same year as 1637, the bubble which had been simmering along for almost 40 years suddenly collapsed overnight. Stories are that a buyer in Harlem defaulted on a major sale and the whole thing came crashing down from that. And then the buyers got scared and disappeared, leaving sellers with almost worthless bulbs. This began a panic throughout Holland, and buyers weren't honouring contracts. And the government of the time stepped in and attempted to honour the contracts for 1/10 of their value, which made the market plunge lower. The country was facing financial ruin, with arguments over money and value going on for years afterwards. So it took a long time for Holland to enter the trading market again, because they were quite scared about what happened to their country after all this. Now, to end, I have to quote a piece from Investopedia.com. Oh, gosh. Who gives this prudent advice, and I quote, "Investors now can know that it is better to stop and smell the flowers rather than to stake your future upon one," end quote. And I think that's pretty brilliant. Oh, yeah.
Lovely.
Thank you. Yeah, I've always found that story really interesting, especially with one bulb, and you can get all this other stuff as well if you swap it for the bulb. So, yeah, money was the guilders.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't really worth a lot when it came to tulips and things.
So it made the economy rather bulbous.
Oh, bad.
I think we should move on past from that.
Oh, yeah. And I just want to add one more thing. There is a story about the Semper Augustus tulip again. Just a few bulbs of that would be enough to feed and clothe and house a average Dutch family for half their lifetime. So you can probably tell how expensive these things were. People would set themselves up for life on this futures market.
As we mentioned before, flowers, I guess, do play a major part in Mother's Day and many other celebrations. And let's just say, well, I'll get back to Mother's Day in a bit of a roundabout way, but I need to do a bit of a background info before I get into the what the bit on this particular story. So strap in, guys. Now, we do celebrate many occasions around the world and in many different ways. But sometimes our approach to these days are very different to what was originally envisioned. In the early 1850s in West Virginia, USA, Anne Reeves Jarvis, not the subject of this one, by the way, was instrumental in banding together groups of women into work clubs who endeavoured to try to improve sanitary conditions, fight disease, and particularly try to reduce contamination in milk in an effort to reduce infant mortality rates.
Yay!
These groups were known as Mother's Day Work Clubs. During the Civil War, 1861 to 1865, these clubs would also tend to wounded soldiers from both sides of the war.
What a lovely group. Really?
After the war, Anne banded together with others to organise Mother's Friendship Day picnics, the aim of which was to invite former Civil War foes together in the spirit of pacifism, so they could reconcile their differences and form, well, friendships. One of Anne's allies, Julia Ward Howe, issued a widely read piece in 1870 known as the Mother's Day Proclamation, which called for women to take a more active political role in order to promote peace. So yeah, as you can probably guess, this is about Mother's Day, but we haven't got to what side of the tradition as we know it today. We're getting there. Now, while Anne was organising work clubs and friendship groups across Virginia, there was no real specific day that was focused on. However, when Anne died in 1905, her daughter, Anna Jarvis, and the subject of the story, felt that a tribute to mothers was needed. So on May 10, 1905, in her hometown of Grafton, families gathered at the Andrews Methodist Episcopal Church, later to be renamed the International Mother's Day Shrine, as well as in Philadelphia, where Anna lived at the time, and a number of other cities. Now, as Anna continued to push and promote the idea of a particular day to spend with your mother and give thanks for all she had done for you, it increased in popularity throughout more cities in the US, leading to President Woodrow Wilson declaring in 1914 that the second Sunday in May would be a holiday for spending with your mother. Anna insisted that it be referred to as the singular Mother's Day, with the apostrophe at the end, rather than the inclusive Mother's Day, with the apostrophe before the S, as the idea was you would spend the day with the best mother you had ever known, i.e. yours. As the popularity of Mother's Day increased, Anna noticed a trend developing. Companies were raking in money through the promotion of cards, flowers and chocolate for that special day with your mum, and she was appalled.
Oh dear, she's not happy.
No. In an effort to combat this commercialization of her creation, Anna created her own incorporated company, the Mother's Day International Association, and proceeded to boycott companies, threaten legal action, and even criticized Eleanor Roosevelt for using Mother's Day to raise money for charity. In 1923, it was reported that Anna disrupted a confectioner convention in Philadelphia, and 2 years later was arrested for disturbing the peace after crashing a Mother's Day event where the group, the American War Mothers, were fundraising by selling carnations.
Oh dear. Who's on?
To really make it clear what Anna thought of what Mother's Day was becoming, according to the book Women Who Made a Difference by Carol Crow Caraco, she was quoted as saying about Mother's Day cards, quote, "A printed card means nothing except that you are too lazy to write to the woman who has done more for you than anyone in the world," end quote. And what about that box of chocolates? Well, again, according to Anna, quote, "You take a box to mother, then eat most of it yourself. A pretty sentiment," end quote. I can just imagine the sarcasm coming off that.
Go, Anna.
Now, Anna kept combating the commercialization of Mother's Day until the early 1940s, but it took its toll. She died from dementia and completely broke in a sanitarium in 1948. As for all her campaigning, well, it's estimated that in the US alone, 18.6 billion dollars is spent annually on cards, flowers, candy, and other such gifts on Mother's Day. I can only think that if Anna was still alive today, she would take one look at what her special day had become and exclaim, "What the history!"
Exactly. Exactly. I'm actually for Anna on this. I think Mother's Day should not just be delegated to just one day. I think it should be a lot. And it's just, it's like Valentine's Day and any other day that commercialism is attached to. It's just a massive money-making scheme. And, yeah, every day should be Mother's Day. Every day should be People's Day. And I love my mum. We're taking her on a picnic.
Yay!
I miss my mum. I love you, Mum.
Okay. And on that note, I guess we'll wish everyone a happy Mother's Day for this weekend, however you celebrate or whatever you do. And thank you all for listening to this episode of What the History. Now, if you liked what you heard, you can head to our homepage, wthpod.rufusproject.com, to leave comments below this very episode and check out those previous episodes of ours. Also, find links to all our references. The references for this episode are noted just below as well. You can also find the What the History podcast page on Facebook, or go to @pod_what on Twitter and interact that way, or even send us an email to wthpod@rufusproject.com. We would certainly love to hear from you and you know, your thoughts, and perhaps if you have a bit of what the history that you know of that you would like us to research, we'd
absolutely
wouldn't mind getting some more ideas there as well.
I love research. It's one of the things I do in my working life and in my study life as well, as I'm looking at all my books up there that I have used in my research. Yeah, love it. And I just want to add one more thing about Mother's Day. I remember asking when I was little, why is there such a day as Mother's Day to my mum? And where is Children's Day? And she said, Children's Day is bloody every day. Thanks, Mum. Now I understand why.
Yes, indeed. And also, if you haven't heard enough of my voice, you can also check out the other Rufus Project podcast, the Rufus Project Redeeming Features cast, which is available at rufusproject.com, where we look at bad movies and try to redeem them. So
and they're fun.
And
it's so much fun.
The last one was about The Sweetest Thing from 2002. No more comment. Oh, if you want to find out what we thought and if we could redeem it, have a listen. It's good fun. And that should do us. Please like us. Please subscribe to us. All that fun stuff.
Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Tell your cat and dog. Bird.
Proclaim it from a balcony over a crowded square.
Yeah, you know? Say how much you love What the History.
Make your own
Pod.
Make your own What the History moment. And we will be back in a couple of weeks' time with two more bizarre bits of history to make you say,
What the History? And I need to put in a PS there. We at What the History do not condone having people make public nuisances of themselves and get cut off by the police. So, yes, just think about that.
I think I've just been told. Bye!
Bye!
Through the jungle.